Listening Library presents Trusting You and Other Lies by Nicole Williams. Read for you by Georgina Marie. For anyone who's ever risen from the ashes, even after being burned. Chapter 1. For the 1,000th time, I shifted in the back seat, trying to get more comfortable. But I should have known better. Nothing about this summer was going to be comfortable. Not even the leather seat that was supposed to be all ergonomic and crap, making road trips a dream, my dad had claimed. After doing almost 6 hours of hard time in the back seat, I could confidently say that my dad's definitions of dream and nightmare had gotten crossed. The air conditioning inside the Ainsworth family Range Rover was blasting from the front seat, where my parental unit sat. But they might as well have been on opposite poles of the planet, for as much as they'd acknowledged each other on this 400-mile-and-some-change road trip. I adjusted my seat heat, dialing it up a notch when I noticed my mom crank up the air conditioning from frosty to arctic. A faint sigh slipped past her lips as she angled the vents toward her face. Any other human being would have been sprouting icicles out their nose from the way that glacial air was blasting at her. But instead, she continued to fan her face, like it was still too warm. The leggings and tunic I'd thrown on were not holding up to the cold front, so I snagged my North Shore track and field hoodie from my backpack. I pulled up the hood and tied the drawstring around my face. Despite the sweatshirt, a shiver rocked me right before the seat heat started to do its job. My mom might have been born and raised in the Northeast, but I was Californian born and bred. I didn't do below 60 degrees, unless I was sporting a couple extra layers.
We're almost there, Dad pointed at a sign on the side of the road, but I couldn't have read it if I'd wanted to. We'd been hauling ass ever since he'd pulled out of our driveway in Santa Monica.
Still looking through that brochure?
Dad glanced back at Harrison, my 10-year-old little brother, who was sitting beside me and thumbing through the camp brochure I knew he'd memorized 50 flip-throughs ago. Harrison, or Harry as I called him, despite my mom's protests that the nickname was much too ordinary, scooted his glasses higher on his nose.
Fencing's that thing where they wear the weird masks and dance around each other, right? Harry asked.
That's right. It's kind of like medieval sword fighting, but with blunted swords that won't totally maim or injure the opponent.
Dad glanced at Harry again, which made me all kinds of uneasy, given he was speeding into a sharp corner going at least 50 miles per hour.
That sounds sick.
Harry pulled a pink highlighter from his side pocket and drew a surprisingly straight line over fencing under the activities section of the brochure. Most of the few dozen others were already highlighted. Everything besides basket weaving, paper mache, and cake decorating were highlighted in different colors, depending on Harry's level of interest. He had a key for it and everything. A yellow highlighter meant he was interested. A green one meant he was very interested. An orange one meant he'd be camped out the night before so he could be first in line. And a pink one meant he'd sacrifice a litter of puppies to do it. For a kid whose life had consisted of textbooks, music lessons, and computers, this was the adventure of a lifetime. Almost as major as winning a lottery to go to the moon. For someone like me, though, a teen girl who'd planned to spend her last official summer at the beach, playing volleyball during the day and huddling around bonfires at night before going away to college next fall, this was like serving a life sentence in a maximum security prison, the guards being my parents, my cell being some rustic cabin smack in the middle of nowhere.
I wanted to spend the summer before my senior year at Camp Kiss My Butt in Flagstaff, Arizona, about as much as I wanted to be locked in the same bedroom where I'd found my former boyfriend, rounding second base with my former friend at a party a few weeks ago. Keats, former boyfriend, current butt munch, had blamed it on his overconsumption of tequila that night. I'd blamed it on his underconsumption of self-control over his whole life. Whoever was right, the outcome was the same. We were done. Through. Goodbye and good riddance. That was my mantra, though my conviction lagged sometimes.
Sick, sick, sick,
Harry said as he continued to devour the camp brochure. Harrison, please stop talking like you're auditioning for a rap video. My mom's eyes were closed, like they'd been the majority of the trip, but now she was pressing her temples, which meant a headache was coming on. She'd had headaches for as long as I could remember. She blamed them on the California sun and not being used to so much sunshine, even after 2 decades of living beneath it. Lately, her headaches had been a lot more frequent. The sun wasn't to blame for the majority of them now, though.
Sorry, Mom.
After drawing another wide pink line through fencing, Harry added a few exclamation points on either side of the word.
Fencing sounds both mentally and physically stimulating.
Harry smiled up at her, but she didn't see it. Harry was Mom's little clone, her shadow for the first 5 years of his life, and the child she deemed worthy of living vicariously through. I'd always been more of my dad's carbon copy, and used to love knowing I'd gotten all my drive and ambition from him. I didn't feel that way anymore.
So, can I do it?
Harry flipped to the last page of the brochure. Mom twisted around in her seat just enough so that she could look at us when she opened her eyes. Harry took after our mom in the looks department. Fair skin, dark hair, slight build. But everyone said I had her eyes. That had been a point of pride. But then things changed. The person who used to be my mom seemed to have disappeared. And I wasn't so sure I wanted the same eyes as the person sitting in the front seat now. Before Mom glanced my way, I made sure I'd angled my body as far as I could toward the door and stared out the window like the sight of pine trees and blue skies was killing it on the first Saturday of summer break. The same day when all my friends were getting together at Laguna Beach to kick off the first beach party of the summer. I'd had my headphones on the entire trip, too, but I'd only listened to music from home to the Arizona state line. I'd kept them on the rest of the way, though, because they spared me whatever awkward talks my parents had in mind for this trip.
Can you do what, Harrison? Mom asked when her eyes wandered his way.
Fencing,
he shrugged. Mom's forehead creased into several deep wrinkles as her mouth drew a hard line.
I don't know if that's a good idea. What about pottery or cake decorating? Don't those sound like compelling options?
Harry looked at our mom like she'd just suggested he slip into lederhosen and take up yodeling. But she didn't see it. She'd already twisted around in her seat and squeezed her eyes shut as she massaged her temples. Harry crossed his arms and put on the face Dad made when he wasn't happy.
I don't want to spend my whole summer learning how to bake or make stupid pots. We're going to one of the most adventure-filled places in the country.
Harry thrust his hand against the front of the brochure, where I guessed he was reading one of the quotes.
I want to fence, and mountain bike, and fish, and climb a rock face.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?